So, the story so far. The Lord called on his prophet Jonah, telling him to go to the pagan city of Nineveh and preach against it because this wickedness had come up before him. But instead, Jonah ran away from the Lord, boarding a ship in Joppa headed for Tarshish. The Lord sent a storm to prevent Jonah from running away. He used Jonah to lead a group of pagan sailors to worship the Lord. By that point, Jonah had been thrown into the sea by the somewhat reluctant pagan sailors. Jonah was swallowed by a huge fish, yet Jonah trusted the Lord would save him, and the Lord did miraculously save him. 3 days later, Jonah was vomited up on the beach. All of us here tonight use a car. Whether we drive or are passengers, we will often use a car. Many of us will use a sat-nav or a tom-tom to help us find our way to our destination. And I would imagine all of us who use these GPS devices have taken a wrong turn at some point. Maybe we have turned too soon. Maybe we turned left instead of right. Or maybe we missed our turning altogether. Maybe we thought we knew better than the sat-nav and went a completely different way, only to realize that the sat-nav was right all along. Then we have to let the sat-nav replan our route and give us instructions so that we can still find our destination by a different route. Well, this is just an everyday example of what can happen if we don't follow directions carefully. Jonah's story is far more dramatic. Jonah had not just misfollowed God's directions, but he had instead ignored them, deciding that he didn't want to go to Nineveh. But the Lord has redirected him. Jonah is going to Nineveh. So in the first section we are going to look at tonight, verses 1 to 3 of chapter 3, Jonah gets a second chance. Right at the start of chapter 3, we see that the word of the Lord comes again to Jonah, telling him to go to Nineveh. Jonah is still the Lord's chosen man to go to Nineveh. Jonah's previous attempts to run away has not changed that. Jonah is getting a second chance. How about us? Maybe you are running from the Lord's calling. We have our reasons. Maybe we feel our situation is wrong. Maybe we don't feel like it's the right time. Maybe we feel we don't have the right skills. Or maybe we just don't understand God's purpose in his calling. In these situations, and I probably need to hear this more than you, just talk to God. Read his words. Listen. Be in the Spirit. Worship. Pray in private and pray with others, but don't run. We must not try to hide from God. Our first parents could not do it. Jonah could not do it. We cannot do it either. God loves us. He cares for us. He's called us to serve him. And if he calls us, he will give us what we need. Maybe you have already run away from God. Maybe you have been running from your call for a while, and now you feel the word of the Lord has come to you again, then go back to the Lord. It might not be easy, but the Lord is patient and he will guide you. Maybe there are areas of God's word that we struggle with, commands that we fail to keep, teachings we fail to follow, truths that we fail to hold on to. We need to allow God to renew our way of thinking and to change us to be more in step with his word and to obey his word. And this is where we find Jonah in chapter 3, verse 3. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Like the sat-nav, God has redirected Jonah back towards his intended destination, although the route has been a little longer and more complicated than was necessary. we then read that Jonah was, sorry, we then read that Nineveh was a very large city and that it took 3 days to walk through it. Then Jonah took a day's journey into the city and proclaimed in verse 4, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So how did the Ninevites respond? After all, this was a wicked people known for their evil and violent ways. And here was a foreigner proclaiming in their city that they were going to be overthrown. Humanly speaking, this would not be expected to go down very well. So verse 5, the Ninevites believed God, a fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth and so instead of laughing at Jonah or laying a hand on him, they believed him. They believed he was speaking from God. It might be worth mentioning here that it's possible that rumours of Jonah's miraculous fish experience had reached Nineveh. So when Jonah arrives, possibly looking dishevelled with acid-damaged skin from the stomach of a fish, having been in the fish for 3 days, this is why they listened to Jonah. Historians have pointed out that around this time the Assyrians had experienced famines, plagues, and times of unrest. Historians even talk of eclipses occurring around this time. But whatever was going on in Nineveh, or with Jonah's arrival, one fact remains. This act of repentance was remarkable. It was miraculous. The Lord was clearly at work. It would seem the Lord had already been doing the groundwork to prepare their hearts to hear the warning that Jonah would deliver. As they looked around and heard God's word, they believed being imminently overthrown was a very real threat. So how does this belief in God's ability to judge them play out? When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust. This is a proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. This statement to the people of Nineveh is absolute. It was for all people of all statuses, even the animals were required to follow the king's decree. Even the king himself had taken off his royal robes, put on sackcloth and sat down in the dust. Now he was instructing everyone to do the same. Everyone is to call urgently on God to give up their evil ways and their violence. The last statement of the decree is interesting. The king hopes that God might relent and show compassion. The king hopes that they might not be destroyed in God's anger. This is interesting because Jonah had not offered any such promise of compassion or mercy in his preaching. Psalm 103 verse 8, which we read from earlier, says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love." The king of Nineveh may not have been aware of this scripture, but he may have heard about the God of Israel and his dealings with his people. The king certainly hopes that God will respond to their repentance by showing mercy to Nineveh. So what does repentance look like? As I was preparing this sermon, I was wondering, what does repentance look like in our day-to-day situations? After all, the events in Nineveh were not an ordinary situation. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19, verses 5 to 10. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. As the people saw this, they began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." There are three points for application here. We must hear God's call. We must acknowledge our sin and take it seriously, and we must turn away from our sin. This is all achieved by the grace of God. He hears us and he helps us. Repentance is a work of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we can make efforts to moralize ourselves and those around us, but it is only the Holy Spirit, and through him that true repentance can happen. Acts 5 verse 32 says, "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So getting back to Nineveh, some people question whether this act of repentance in Nineveh was genuine. I believe that the Bible clearly tells us that it was. Verse 10 in chapter 3 tells us, "When God saw what they did, and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened." Verse 10 tells us God relented because they repented. God cannot be fooled by false repentance. He sees our hearts and knows our motives. Also, in Matthew 12, verse 41, "The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here." Jesus believes they will stand at the judgment because they repented. God's word is pretty clear that Nineveh's repentance was genuine. We have no need to doubt it or to think that it may have only been superficial. So as we draw to a conclusion tonight, what have we learned from this passage about God? That God gives second chances. He gave Jonah a second chance to serve him. He could have forgotten Jonah and raised up another prophet, but he didn't. He persevered with Jonah. He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. He was not only gracious to his servant Jonah, but to the pagan sailors and to the violent city of Nineveh, which leads us to our next point. He saves those who are near and those who are far. We would expect God to show mercy to his own nation, Israel. Certainly Jonah was not so keen on the Lord being merciful to the Ninevites, but we, as Gentiles today, have seen and are indeed beneficiaries of God's work among the nations. This has always been God's plan. For the Lord promised Abraham, "Through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed." And we'll explore that a bit more next time. So what have we learned that we can apply? It is better to obey God, to seek God's calling and to ask for his help in living out that calling. It is not always easy to follow God's plan. for our lives, but it is worth it in the end. We have God, and He won't leave us. He has given us each other to build each other up as we serve Him. Also to pray for the lost. God is calling people to Himself. Saving souls is His work, and by praying in the Spirit for the lost, we join our hearts to God's heart and hopefully are spurred on to acts of service. And finally, the Lord saves. We all need to acknowledge that we are sinners. We need to come to the Lord and confess and turn from our sins, trusting in the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross as payment for our wrongdoing, and believe in His resurrection that conquers death for all who believe. We need to trust His promise and come back, that He will come back for His people. Maybe you've not taken that step of faith, then please talk to us. The Lord will never send away anyone who comes to Him. It is the Lord alone who saves. Come to Him. Amen.